Hallelujah. There we go. We could turn that down a little bit, probably. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, God is good. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many are glad you're here tonight? I am happy to be here. I am happy to be here. It's so interesting. Most of you know that we had trees fall on our vehicle, and I was, I said, Lord, I just need favor with this thing. So the insurance, we went going through the insurance, and the adjuster called, and for my truck, I'm thinking, I'm probably not going to get much, and they're going to really try to lowball me and all of that. Well, I was overwhelmed by what they offered, and it was like, okay, and going to keep the truck and all of that. They totaled it, of course, but the truck's fine as far as driving. And so anyway, just how God comes through, and we have favor, and now I'm believing for favor for the Lexus. Everybody say favor for the Lexus. Hallelujah. How many know that we all go through stuff, right? Some really good stuff, some medium, some, some low, but then some really bad stuff. You go through all kinds of stuff. And tonight we're going to be in Psalm 57, but I want to speak to you about how to come into a storm, how to withstand the storm, and how to come out of the storm. Does that sound helpful to anybody?
Yeah.
If not, we can go home. But no, really. No, I'm just kidding. I guess I'm on it tonight. But all right, so Psalm 57, and we're going to obviously start in the first verse. It says, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul thirsts trust in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among the lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps, and my soul is bowed down. And they've dug a deep pit before me. Into the midst they have themselves fallen. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches into the heaven and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be above the earth." Now, here's the deal, and this is really interesting, because this is a psalm that David wrote when he was being chased by Saul, and hiding in caves and doing all of that. So he was going through some things. Everybody say, going through some things. You and I have to go through some things. When our plans don't work out, or when people disappoint us, or when just life happens, right? And so I love the first verse. It says, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me." In other words, David was saying, I understand. In reality, my position is, I don't deserve you even having a thought of me. Right? I understand that. And for us Christians outside of the blood of Jesus, we're in that position, right? But he said, be merciful to me. In other words, I want you to bestow your loving kindness upon me, not because I deserve it, but because you want to give it, right? So think about that position. So going into the storm, he was crying out for God's love and God's loving kindness. And so that was, you know, even before we get into a situation, maybe everything's going great in your life tonight. Maybe it's so-so, maybe, you know, but or maybe it's bad. But our attitude should be the same. Lord, I need you. Come on. Lord, I need you. And get up every morning saying, Lord, like this is the day that you have made. I need you in it. And I recognize because of your word that you are in it. But I'm going to declare you in it. And I am not going to take your mercy for granted. I'm going to speak of your mercy all day long. Right? How many know that God's mercy is for us? Now go to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. And we're going to be... you guys got that back there? Psalm 136. And just verse 1, you can go through all of the verses of Psalm 136, and there's quite a few. But the first verse says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." Everybody say forever. Forever is a long time. Right? If you're alive tomorrow, then his mercy will be there. If you're alive 10 years from now, his mercy will be there. If it's available to you, whether you know you're here, there, this week, next week, a month from now, a year from now, his mercy is available. So when we say, Lord, be merciful to me, we know that his mercy is available to us. So David in this psalm is saying, listen, I know your mercy because I've experienced it over and over again. But I'm telling you that I continually need your mercy. And again, his mercy, I love this definition. Mercy means that we don't get what we deserve. Right? Grace means we get what we don't deserve. Right? In other words, it's his mercy that's poured out on us because of his love, not because of our actions or anything like that. But watch this. The first part of that psalm again was, be merciful, Psalm 57, to me, O Lord. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. My soul trusts in you. And again, when you're going into a storm, when you're in the middle of the storm, you've got to tell your mind some things. You have to tell your thoughts to line up and say to yourself, I trust God. Because it's screaming on the outside, you know, inside it, well, you're going to die. You're going to be broke. You're going to be out on the street. You're going to be whatever it is. You know, that person's going to leave you. That person's going to talk about you. You're not going to, you know, whatever it is that you're facing, whatever storm you're facing, you got to tell yourself, I trust God. I trust God. I don't understand anything, or I don't understand why I'm here. I don't understand, did I do something wrong? All of those questions that come, you have to tell yourself in the midst of that, listen, I trust God. At the end of the day, I trust God. Did I do it right? I don't know, but I trust God. I trust what? I trust his mercy. Right? Even if I messed it up, I trust his mercy. I trust God. Hallelujah. You know, really, this is sad, but there aren't a lot of people in this world that you can trust. let me just give you an example. Hey, can I tell you something? I need you to keep it in confidence. You know, there's very few people that I would say that to. And for the most part, like if somebody comes to me and says, listen, I need you to keep this in confidence, I don't tell anyone else. Why? Because I don't trust that they won't say it to somebody else, even under the best intentions, right? So I'm going to keep the confidence by keeping my word and not telling anybody the secret that I've had. So in other words, there's not a lot of people that you can go to and say, look at, I'm messed up and this is my condition and I need help. And instead of them turning on you, you can trust them to help you through this. But God is one. You can tell him anything. You can tell him what you're feeling. You can tell him what you're going through. You can tell him where you've been. You can tell him what you're thinking. You can tell him how angry you are. You can tell him how disappointed you are. You can tell him how jealous you are. You can tell him about the envy that's in your heart. And you can trust that he's not going to leave you. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. Right? So even before a storm happens, or in the beginning of the storm, or in the midst of the tempest, or even on the way out, our attitude has to be the same. Lord, I'm thanking you for your mercy. And Lord, even though it doesn't make sense to me right now, I'm trusting you. See, even at this time, we're living in a time where we have to trust God, because if we don't trust God, then we'll start to be pulled away from God by all of the worldly things that are going on and people's opinions and, you know. Yeah, I'll just tell you. But again, in Psalm 57, in verse 1, he says, be merciful to me. And then he goes, watch this. He goes, for my soul trusts in you. Be merciful to me because my soul, my thinking, who I am, my soul trusts you. And again, his mercy endures forever. Isn't that good? That's just so good. Now let's move on. It says, and in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. That's an incredible verse and an incredible statement about when we're going through a storm. You know what it means to be in the shadow of the wings? It's like, you know, when there's a storm or whatever, the eagle or whatever kind of bird that you're looking at, they have little babies. What they do is they spread their wings out and then put them underneath the wings. Why? So that they can survive the storm. And David is saying here, it's so good. David is saying here, watch this. He says, and in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed me by. Isn't that an amazing thing? Watch that. But watch this. It's like God, in the midst of this, I'm going to come to you. In the midst of what I'm going through, I'm not going to go away from you. I'm not going to start talking bad about you or questioning who you are, but I'm going to come to you. My trust dictates that I come to you. But when I come to you, I'm coming because you are my refuge. Now, many of you know this, but I'll just use this as an example. Under the law, and when Israel went into the promised land, God instructed Moses for them to set up cities of refuge. And what those cities were for, and, you know, I don't want to get in big detail, but watch this. If you committed a murder intentionally, then death was it. But if you killed your neighbor by accident, you didn't mean to, it just something happened, then you could run to a city of refuge and the person who was trying to avenge your blood, like the relatives and whatever, could not touch you in the city of refuge. But if you came outside of that city of refuge and they saw you, then you were, you know, you were dead meat, right? But watch it. Refuge means a place where I'm safe and a place that I can know that safety dwells. That's so good. Again, it's so awesome. In the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed me by. Let's look at a verse there, and you all know this verse, but go to Psalms 91. Hold your place there, because we'll be right back. But Psalm 91. Listen to what he says. Now, hold your place in Psalm 91. I'm going to read this. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge. So David is saying, in the midst of what I'm going through, and he's going to describe that a little bit, I will be in the shadow of your wings. I will make you my refuge. Now look at Psalm 91 and verse 1. And this was actually a psalm of Moses. But listen to what he says. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Don't you think David had probably read this? So when he was writing the psalm, he was saying, I'm trusting you and your word, because your word declared in Psalm 91 that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow or protection of the Almighty. You see, again, in the midst of a storm, we have to decide where we're going to dwell. We have to make a determination that God, come heck or high water, come the flood, come the storm, come a blizzard, whatever, I am going to stay under the protective wing of your shadow. Come on. Is that good? That's so good. I have to read this, so I wasn't going to. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. You see, sometimes that's easy to say when we're sitting here in church. But when our hearts gets broken, or grief is coming up to us, as it does as we go through life, if something doesn't work out exactly the way that you planned, are you willing to stand up in the midst of that and say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, in my God will I trust. See, again, going through a storm, even coming into the storm, whether you're in the middle of the storm, whether you're at the end of the storm, your attitude and your actions have to remain the same if you want to survive the storm and have your relationship with God intact. Many people that I know have gone through a storm, and instead of saying, the Lord is my refuge in whom I will trust, they complain that, well, God left me, God deserted me, God, you know, and pretty soon they're far away from God. How did God let this happen to me? And we could go into a lot of detail about that, but the reality is that I don't care what happens to me, God's mercy over me is forever. Are you with me? So it's kind of having that attitude and saying, God is my, I think it would be good, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. His mercy endures forever, and he is my refuge, and I dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. So when I'm at work and things aren't going well, maybe they're yelling at me or whatever, I'm still under the shadow of the Almighty. And if a coworker is plotting against you and they're saying all kinds of things that you can't have any control of, you can still say that the Lord is my refuge and I'm abiding under his shadow. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. in Him will I trust. Will you say it at the beginning of the storm? Will you say it in the middle of the storm? Will you say it as the storm starts to wane a little bit? Will you say it at the end of the storm? That's the determining factor of how spiritually you get through the crisis of life. Come on. We have to say some things. Hallelujah. Verse 3 of Psalm 57 says, He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. Watch this. He's where we get our help. Our trust must be in God. And trust not only in God, but in the God who is our Savior. And when I say that, I'm not specifically talking about, although it applies to Jesus being our Savior, but God is our deliverer. He's our help. He's the one when everybody else leaves us, if everybody else is not for us, if we're the only one on the face of this earth that's seeking God, He's for us. He'll be with us, right? And I'm going to Him. I'm going to seek Him. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence my help may come. My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Now watch this. Oftentimes, what we do is we substitute God's position and try to put that on somebody else. Let me just give you an example. Maybe you've, this is a silly one, but maybe you helped somebody move. You spent 2 days helping them move. And then you call them when you're moving. And, oh, I'm so busy. They say, I'm so sorry. My great, 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 great grandniece, third distant cousin is having a party, and I'm going to go to the party. Right? And so what you do then, as you get bitter toward them and putting pressure on them to be your deliverer in the move, instead of saying, well, if that door shuts, God will open another one. Right? You'll be with me in the move no matter what it takes, God. I just trust that you'll give me the strength to do that. Just speaking of that, there's one time years and years ago. I'd been going through something and all of my friends were busy, and I had to move from one house into an apartment. So I moved into the apartment by myself, and it was a second story. Just imagine, now I was a lot younger, but I carried a couch by myself up two stories to get into that. What I'm saying, God gave me the strength to be able to do that. I could be bitter. Well, man, why didn't he come, or why didn't they come, or why didn't they do what I would do? It's like... Well, and it's probably that I didn't reach out to them. But here's the point, is that whatever we're going through, yes, God will use people to help us, and I'm not against that at all, but we have to keep God as the source and then let Him use whatever resource He wants to use. Are you listening to what I'm saying? My help comes from the Lord. Now, I'm going to be thankful if you do something for me. I'm going to be grateful that you do something for me, and I'm going to bless God and thank you and all of that. But the reality is that God used you to bless me. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like, where does my help come from? It always, let me say this, always at the source is from Him. Right? And I love this. I love this. It's so good. Again, He says, you know, I'm going to look to the hills where my help comes from. I just love that. Because watch this. Have you ever traced a river back to its source? You know, like the Mississippi or the Columbia or the Snake River or the Yakima River or whatever. There's some place up in the mountains somewhere where it starts out as just a little trickle. Right? But as it's going down and collecting more and more water, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I like that because it's like, Lord, I'm coming to the mountains where my source is, but as I head back down the mountain, your presence and your help and your will get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Because I spent time with you, Lord, and I trust in you, Lord, that I know that as I'm going through circumstances, you'll continue to use people and circumstances and just bless me. Come on. Hallelujah. How many can testify that that's happened to you? Right? All right, verse 4. I'm going to finish verse 3. I don't think I finished it. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. In other words, right, the Bible says that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's true. But it's also true that if people are coming against God's elect, God will take care of business. In fact, and this is a big paraphrase, but God says, listen, if somebody's messing with you, you don't go after them. You give them to me, and I'll take care of business. I'll do what's right. You trust me. You come to me. You come into me instead of going away from me, and I'll take care of business. Is that good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Back to Psalm 51, and let's look at verse 4. Listen to this now. Listen to him crying out. This is an emotional statement. Psalm 57 and verse 4. Listen to this. He says, my soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men whose are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues like a sharp sword. Lord, I'm in a bad position here. David again was hiding in caves from Saul, and Saul's army was, if you see David, I want his head, right? And what have I done for that? David had done nothing but conquer all the enemies, done everything for Saul that he wanted to. So sometimes we get in positions where the position we're in is not fair. This isn't right. God, you know it's not right. I know it's not right. Quit looking at that. Trust God with all of that. But to say, Lord, even though I'm in this position I don't like what the boss is doing. I don't like what the bill collectors are saying. I don't like what the doctor has said. I don't like these positions. But God, I'm going to trust you. Listen, because the next verse says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? When we're in a trial, God is there. Let me say that again. When we're in a trial, God is there. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 11, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, not that I speak in regard to need. Paul's talking to the church at Philippi. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now listen to this next verse. We use this verse a lot. But this is in context of what he just said. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So watch this. This is so good. When you're in the midst of whether you're in abundance or if you're in the midst of where you have a lot of lack. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills. You don't know how you're going to get through. You don't know what's going to happen. You can sit in your pity chair and begin to complain and begin to, or you can say, Lord, if you're with me, I'm content. I'm content. I'm content. What does content mean? It means you're at peace in your heart. Let me say that again. You're at peace in your heart. Contentment means that you have peace and in your heart. Well, we were learning about the heart, but that means in my mind and my thoughts. I make my thoughts become peaceful. Right? And in my will, I will be peaceful. Right? In my emotions, even if you have an outburst of crying or whatever, that's normal, that's natural. But you say to your emotions, you don't rule me. Right? You don't rule me. I'm not going to let you rule me. Right? And then you get quiet and listen to your conscience, the voice of the Lord your God. And you can get to the place where contentment is your way of life. And the only way that that can happen is if you make verse 13 your reality. I can do all things. And I'm just going to change that just a little bit. I can go through anything through Christ Jesus who empowers me to do it. In other words, if he's with me, I can get through this. Having a rough patch in relationships, whether marriage, kids, whatever, I can get through that because Christ is with me. Christ is with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Back to Psalms 57 and verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be above all the earth. You have to keep God in his proper place in your heart. And think about that. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Be exalted. What does that mean? Well, I think that part of it is, Lord, I see you as this big. In the midst of my trial, I need to see you as this big. Right? So, God, I've seen you do work, and it's been awesome, and the trials and everything that I've been through is amazing, and you came in, and it seems like it was this big. But God, I know you're this big. And the more you exalt God of who he is and what he can do, your trust level goes way up. Your faith level goes way up. And your peace level can be expounded upon because you've exalted God in your situation rather than exalting your situation over God. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Let your glory be above all the earth. I just love that. Let your glory be above all the earth. Verse 6. Now listen to this. This is awesome. Again, this isn't just some metaphorical statement that David is saying here. This is a statement that is his reality at the moment. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. In the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. So, Lord, even when I was at my lowest, even when I was hiding in the cave and they had all of these plans to take me out, it was their demise. It was their demise. Years ago, we went through something, and as we were going through it, the verse that God gave me, it was supernatural. He gave it to me, and it's what I stood on through this storm. It was, "Fear not, for I'm with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will uphold thee with thy righteous right hand. Behold, all of those who are incensed against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. You shall look for them and not find them." Right? And there's more to the verses. That's 41, John, Isaiah 41, verses 10, I think, and 11 and 12, whatever. But I held on to that. And when fear would start to overtake me and fear would just envelop me, I'd say, "No, fear not, for God is with me. I'm abiding under his shadow. Fear not." It was there fear in my mind? Absolutely there was fear in my mind. Was there anxiety around me? Yes. But I had to speak to the anxiety about my God, and I had to remind him what God had told me, and God told me to fear not. And if God tells you to fear not, what should you do? Fear not. Right? Why? How can you even say that? "God, do you see what I'm going through? I'm with you. I'm with you." And you know, it happened just exactly like that, that those who were coming against us, one day they were just gone. Haven't heard from them since. And that's been 30 plus years ago. So what I'm saying is that we have to learn in the midst of our storm to keep God at the center of everything. Quit blaming him and start exalting him. Take his word personally and put it in your heart so that you can grab a hold of your thoughts and not let them take you down a pit. Are you okay with that? Hallelujah. Verse 5 again, "Be exalted, O God." Oh, no, I'm sorry. Verse 6, "They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. In the midst of it, they themselves have fallen." I like this. Now, the rest of this is just awesome. "My heart is steadfast, O God." See, if you want to get through the storm that you're going through, you have to have a steady heart. "My heart is steadfast, O God." I'm affixed. I am not moving. I am just not moving. Reminds me of the story of, there was this Navy vessel, and it was approaching, and you know, it was out in the sea, and it's approaching, and there was lights of another vessel that were coming on. And so he got on the radio. "This is the U.S. Navy, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. I need you to yield to me." And the guy comes back, "No, sir, you must yield to me." And it's foggy, and they couldn't see there, but they could see the lights. And he got back out. "You don't understand. I am the captain of the U.S. Navy vessel such and such under direct orders of the commander-in-chief, and you must yield to me." And the guy on the other end of the line says, "Well, sir, I don't know who you are or what vessel you have, but I'm a lighthouse, so you better yield to me." Right? So here's the bottom line. It's like, yeah, you're coming at me with your verbiage, but do you see who's standing with me? So, devil, you have to yield to me. Pain, you have to yield to me. Emotions, you have to yield to me. Why? Because God is standing with me. Come, is that good? It's just so good. Verse 7. "My heart is steadfast, O God." My heart is steadfast. He told him twice. I'm steady. I'm a rock. I'm not moving. Have you ever seen the dogs? Maybe you've been around a dog. I think there are certain breeds. If they get a hold of you, they're not letting go. They're not letting go unless their master tells them or something, or you kill the dog, it's not going to let go of you because it's steady. That's his mission. That's what he's bred to do. He's going to hold on no matter what. See, in the midst of the storm, you got to take a hold of God and say, I'm not moving. I got a hold of you and I'm not giving up. My heart is steadfast. I will not retreat. I will not bend. I will not bow to the enemy's lies. I will not let my emotions feel sorry for myself. I've decided that God is my refuge, and I'm going to stand steady in Him. My heart is steadfast, O God. And again, as we're talking about on Sunday, that the heart is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. You have to get a hold of all of those and say, nope, this is where we're going. This is where we're headed. This is where we're standing. And you might get the voices back, well, what if this doesn't happen? You might be out on the street. If I'm out on the street, God will be with me. Right? Circumstances don't dictate my contentment. My contentment is in Him. Well, what if He leaves you? What if she leaves you? What if the kids, you know, don't do what they're supposed to do? I am steadfast in my allegiance to the One who saved me and kept me. Right? Again, verse 7. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. You know, sometimes when you're going through it, it's hard to sing and give praise. But it's the very thing that you need to do. It's the very thing that will help you stay steady and get through in the midst of the storm. When the winds are blowing and the gale's going, and it's like, no. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Come on. And you just begin to worship Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And there's something about singing your praise, and you say, well, I can't sing, I'm not a singer. If you're by yourself, nobody else is going to hear. If you're not on key, who cares? Right? But there's something about singing. I had a nun say this in a class once. She said that singing to God is like praying twice. In other words, she was saying there's more power, it seems like, in the sung word than even the spoken word. And you know that to be true from the standpoint of how emotionally you can get involved in a song. Or even better yet, how music or a genre of music can change a culture. Right? Some of us grew up in the 60s and 70s and when that whole thing, the genre that came through, and they were speaking words of a shifting culture, and that was drummed into our spirits and our hearts because we were almost innocently singing words that had a catchy tune, but the message was leading us away from godly principles instead of to them. So when we sing praises unto God, what's it doing? It's directing our heart back to Him. Come on. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So, I don't know about you, but when I'm driving, I'll listen to the radio and I'll do different things. But how much time have we wasted listening to the radio when we could have shut it off and either prayed in the Spirit or sang songs to God? Just begin to worship God. Amen. What songs do I need to sing? Whatever's on your heart. You need to just get in the place where you're praising God all the time. I'm almost done, but let me just tell you this story. I've told it to you before, but it bears repeating. And what singing praise to God will do. And maybe you say, well, I don't know what song to sing. All you have to do is open this book to the book of Psalms. And those are all songs. Most of them are songs. In other words, and this is what happened. A lot of times David would write down this poem and then he'd take it to Asaph or different musicians and he'd say, put music to this. Because I want it sung in the sanctuary. And so that's this, right? And so back, and maybe some of you will remember, back during the late 70s and early 80s, most of the music, most of the worship songs were scripture songs. In other words, they were music put to the Psalms. A lot of them were. And it was powerful. But back to my story. There was one time Renita and I weren't married. We were going to Rhema, but we were going out with a couple other people the next day. It was a Friday night. I worked swing shift while I was going to Rhema. So I went to work at 4 o'clock and got off at midnight. And so we're leaving the next morning to go to some lake in Oklahoma that was like 4 or 6 hours away from, Donnie goes, lake. But there was water in a puddle, right? There's a lake, some 4 or 5, it was a reservoir type of thing. But anyway, we're going to this lake, but it was a 4 or 5 or 6 hour drive. So we were going to leave like at 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning. Well, again, get home at 12:30. It takes a little bit of time to wind down. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to get in the Psalms. And so what I did is I just started getting into the Psalms. And what I did is I just started singing them. And so for about an hour and a half, I was singing like, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust you. In God I will praise His word. In God I put my trust, I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? So for an hour and a half I was doing that. Now watch this. When they came and knocked on the door for me to go down to get in the car, I couldn't talk. Because I was so in the presence of God. I was so filled with Him. Some would say you were drunk in the Spirit. I think that's apropos, but I was, and for probably 2 of the first hours that we rode in the car, I didn't say anything to anybody because I was in His presence. So that's the power that even when you don't feel like it, if you'll begin to praise Him and use this book if you don't have any other, and just begin to sing it to Him. You say, well, I can't sing like you. It doesn't matter. God knows your heart, right? And nobody else is listening anyway. Except God. And maybe the devil, and he don't like it, so you should do it even more. Right? So good. Now watch this. This is so awesome. Listen to his verbiage here. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. Listen to what he's saying. Wake up, lute. Wake up, harp. In other words, wake up. I'm going to start playing these instruments. I'm going to start blowing into to the trumpet. I'm going to start playing the guitar. I'm going to start, and watch this. He said, I'm going to awaken the dawn. So I'm going to do this before even the sun comes up, because when the sun comes up, it's going to hear me praising God, not only with my song of voice, but with the instrument that I play. That's incredible. It's like, all right, Lord, I'm going to start out the right way. When I get up in the morning, before anything happens, I'm going to sing praises unto you. And my day is going to be start by me telling myself to wake up and get in the presence of God. Awaken the harp and the lyre. Awaken the dawn. Come on. Verse 9. Verse 9. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. Now, I just want to stop for just a minute. We're winding down, but I want to sing to you among the peoples. The peoples might not like that. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. If they've got their, you know, you're at work somewhere and they're working, whatever, and they start, you know, blasting, you know, whatever they're blasting that's not godly, what's wrong with you just saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, right? And you just, and again, you're not trying to be obnoxious, you're not trying to compete, but what you're doing is you're positioning yourself, again, back in the presence and under the shadow of the Almighty. Is that good? That's so good, so good. Hallelujah. Watch this now. He says in verse 10, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Again, listen to that. He's back to, you know, the beginning. Be merciful to me. And then he's reminding God, your mercy is everywhere. Your mercy is over me. How can I praise you in the midst of the storm? How can I get through this storm? Because his mercy is forever and ever. And finally, watch this. It says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be above all the earth. Praise, and praise on your lips. And not just praise. Well, you know, I put my praise music on. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the same as you praising. Right? That's not the same thing as you praising. That would be like going to a steakhouse, sitting outside the window, staring inside the steakhouse, and watching somebody else eat steak. Well, I had the steak on. Boy, I had my steak on. I had the, you know, I was there. I saw it. In fact, when the door opened, I could smell it. No, man, I want to eat my own steak. Are you with me? No, I want to have my own praise. You might use their words. You might sing along with them. There's nothing particularly wrong with that. But don't let somebody else be your praiser. Be your praiser for yourself. Amen. Did y'all get something tonight? Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for all that are online watching me, and I believe your presence is here in the room, and I believe it's gone into the internet through Facebook and YouTube. And I thank you, God, for touching people's lives. I reassess myself even tonight, Lord, and I am committed to praise you more tomorrow than I did today. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace. I dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of you, Lord, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. And God, I just ask you to bless those who are watching tonight. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or if you made him but you've walked away from him, come back to him tonight and just cry out to him and say, Lord, I just believe that, God, you sent Jesus to be my Savior. I need a Savior. I'm a sinner, God. I need your mercy. Come mercy over me and give your heart to Jesus, and he'll never let you down. God bless you. Thanks for joining us.